KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Art Power, welcoming the renowned Jack Quartet to San Diego for an evening of music titled Modern Medieval, with works by Caroline Shaw, Morton Feldman, and more. Monday, May 6th at The Loft at UC San Diego, artpower.ucsd.edu.
It's really hard to separate San Diego from surfing. It's a huge part of life here and a big draw for people who make San Diego home. That's certainly true for Frank Nasworthy.
You know, there is this literally measurable natural energy in these waves, and you're really just aligning with it. And to me, it sounds corny. It's a cosmic alignment. I mean, it's like, I try to go surfing, but if I go out and get a couple of good waves, it changes the week for me.
Welcome to My First Day, telling stories of those who've come to San Diego from elsewhere and now call it home. My name's Andrew Bracken. Frank Nasworthy's love of surfing was what brought him to Encinitas, a small beach community north of San Diego. But it was his innovation to skateboarding and creating Cadillac wheels specifically that forever cemented his legacy. Frank's story, right after the break.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
Here's Frank Nasworthy with his story of...
My first day. I was a son of a naval aviator. It was a childhood of moving. I think 9 or 10 schools, first 12 years of school. Honestly, as a child, you don't really realize that is there a different way to do this or not. But I realized for me, it conditioned me to be able to walk into any room, anywhere, anytime, and talk to people. I was the class in 1969. So in our school year, we saw, within a year of my graduation, Martin Luther King assassinated, Bobby Kennedy assassinated, Richard Nixon elected, the war in Cambodia started. And so by the time I left home or graduated high school, I was a pretty confused young man.
Frank graduated high school during an especially turbulent time in the U.S. The war in Vietnam was raging, and tensions were sky high at home, with a military draft looming for young men. During his freshman year of college, Frank started protesting the war.
I ended up in a demonstration where I was arrested for trespassing and summarily suspended from school. So within a year of graduation, I was 1A in the draft, and no school would take me because of a suspension in the nature of my suspension from college. But at that time, they came along with the draft lottery. If I never win another lottery in my life, I won that one.
Unable to attend college, Frank returned home to help care for his ailing mother, who was seriously ill from a brain tumor.
I'll never forget the last time I saw my mom. She was in a care facility, let's call it that, and she was pretty much not conscious. But all I had to do is say the word mom, and she just woke up, her eyes just came. She came like a laser, like, you're here. I remember as an 18 or 19-year-old, it was really hard going in there and seeing people in that condition when you're young and you think, you know, life is forever, and here's this reality. Basically, my mother took about a year and a half for her to die. It was a learning experience beyond imagination. I realized that, you know, for me, my goal should be to that can happen to anybody at any time. The time now is to find out what it is you want to do and do it as hard as you can. And a lot of times it's just a matter of growing up and realizing that, to grab that. And the one thing that I found in my life that I love more than anything was all sorts of water sports, sailing and everything. But surfing was something that I at the time, I didn't understand it. For me, it's so it's a spiritual thing that you're really engaging yourself with the forces of nature in a really complex manner. Just how waves are formed by giant storms thousands of miles away, and this rolling wave of energy comes to the beach, and you're playing with gravity and you're playing with a wave in the ocean. You're so close to the environment in that. Kind of crazy, but it's a cosmically unique situation.
Much like surfing in San Diego, skateboarding and surfing also go together. And it was a love of surfing that eventually brought Frank to his skateboarding innovation and to Cadillac wheels.
I don't remember where I actually got my first skateboard. I remember nailing skates to a 2x4 and using that as a skateboard. But the surfing thing came around, and the skateboarding thing kind of fell off because it was limited because of the equipment. You can only go so far. Some guys were doing lots of tricks and everything, but to be going really fast and kind of going down a hill or something in turn, the old clay wheels just did not afford a lot of traction. It was a toy that it was a fad toy. Nobody wanted to spend real money on skateboarding. But during that period of time was when I was fortunate enough, and it's just dumb luck, good fortune, but with a friend into a small shop of a gentleman there in Northern Virginia who was manufacturing products, or he was trying to innovate products with a material that hadn't gained a lot of notoriety, urethane. And one of the products he was there is I was making some wheels for a roller rink in South Florida. And when we walked into a shop with my friend to see yet this man's son, I looked at this barrel of wheels, and I picked them up, and I was just looking at him, and I go, at the time, myself and my friends, we were little frustrated surfers. We were living inland. We were traveling to the beach, surfing on the weekends to Cape Hatteras, Ocean City, Maryland, Eastern Shore of Virginia. But we still had skateboards, and I looked at these wheels, and I realized that all of a sudden here was literally a elastomeric wheel that would be capable of being retrofitted onto my skateboard. And the man said, oh, take them. I was just trying to throw them into the dump there. Took them home. We took out our skateboards and put these on our skateboards. And so we were the first people to actually ever get to try urethane wheels on skateboards. There's immense areas of concrete in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, and we've just skated everywhere. People sort of looked at us as this freaky, wild thing that they'd never seen. They'd seen people skateboarding, sort of, but it was not in the context of the freedom that the urethane wheel gave you, where you could control turns and you didn't slide sideways. And it was a skateboard with traction. It was about a year later that I went with my friend. It was his car, but we came to California to go surfing. My friend and I basically drove up and down the coast looking for surf, and kind of passed through from San Diego to San Francisco. I don't know if we looped it twice.
During their California travels, Frank and his friend spent some time in Los Angeles, where they had a crash pad of sorts.
No offense to LA or not, it sucked up there. It was way too weird. It was urban. I'm not an urban person. It was Sunset Boulevard. There were all the freaky things you could ever, the whole gamut of a freak show. That it was the kind of drug culture that was there, and it really drove me harder to find the sweet spot that I was looking for.
When we come back, Frank finds his sweet spot at a beach in Encinitas called Swami's.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year, we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
We were driving up, actually, I think pretty much kind of heading back to Los Angeles, the North Hollywood area, and we pulled off at this little overlook, and just there was Swami's, and I just went, told my friend Bill Harward, Bill, I'm getting out here. This is where I want it. This is the spot. I think it's a good spot. So I had a sleeping bag, a duffel bag, and a little backpack, and a surfboard. Kind of slept in a little private part of the beach for a couple of nights until I had time to find a room, and I rented a room pretty quickly. But the first day it's funny, so it's going to be an audio thing. If it was a movie at all, I would see this picture of Swami's, and in my mind I have this picture. I'm not doing it justice, but surfers will know what it is that I'm talking about, because it's sort of a sacred place. Encinitas was not very well developed. There was no pizza. You couldn't buy a pizza in Encinitas. There were no McDonald's. Lots of health food stores and things that I had never really seen, where you get, carrot juice and avocado sandwiches. But there was all these very eclectic organic food industry was just having its startup days. And it was a town that did not have a lot of people, did not have a lot of traffic. The freeway had just been opened about 2 years before I arrived. So I also remember driving down the freeway, I-5, and looking at how clean it was. Look at all this concrete was new. I just remarked that it's all new. I think I fit the bill for a 100% Encinitas surfing hippie for a few years. So it really wasn't very long. It was within like a year and a half of I'd been in Encinitas when I knew in the back of my head there was these wheels. And this was really ground zero for where something like that would work. And I had thought about it a while, like where else would you do it? And at the end of the day, I contacted the man who knew how to make them. I contacted him and said, I want to buy some wheels. I want you to make wheels for me. And then it came down to, well, you have to buy 1,000 wheels. And so, I'm 20, 21, working in a restaurant. I'm kind of, okay. So I rationalized that if I bought 1,000 wheels, I could find 250 skateboarders in Southern California that wanted to pull their skateboards out of their garage and put the wheels on it, so that I was really confident that I had enough market that I could afford to go ahead and make the investment on 1,000 wheels. And that's what I did. I knew there was at least 250 people out there who wanted to put skateboards on their new skateboard wheels on their skateboards. I had to go through the shop owners to get them. And the shop owners were the guys who were very skeptical, even the ones that still had skateboard wheels in their showcase and on their counters. I'll never forget the guy at the Hobie store in Pacific Beach. And he goes, that wheel looks really nice. But he goes, see this wheel here? He goes, that wheel cost a skateboarder 50 cents. You're selling me a wheel that at the time I was wholesaling them for a dollar and everybody just keystones it. It would be a $2 product to a skateboarder. He goes, nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to pay that money. I ended up just giving a lot of wheels away. I had 1,000, so maybe I gave away 300 or 400 wheels. And by that time, then it got crazy. Then the shop owner's going to call me up, going, hey, people are asking for these wheels now. And so that's how it started out. And so with a young guy who really had no business experience, I could count and figure things out, but I had no business experience, I just started sell 1,000, buy 2,000, buy 4,000. I was just rolling the money over as fast as I could. We just knew that other people would want this. Our target was surfers with skateboards in their garage. And that was the end of the vision. I did not know enough to go, Frank, where are you going to be in 2 years from now? No, I was worrying about the next month, the next wheel order. We were up in the hundreds of thousands of wheel order. Now, that's $100,000, and that's a lot of money in 1973. It's a lot of money. It was crazy for a while. But the real question was, where is this going to go next? And I did not have the business acumen to ask that question soon enough. And of course, other people did when they saw the potential. And the competition was not far away once I started. As a matter of fact, the day the guy called me and told me that, you know, someone has come in and bought my factory, and you're going to have to deal with this person. And my image in my mind was my sailboat going off into the sunset. I saw a sailboat sailing away without me. Skateboarding did not bring me wealth in the terms of financial wealth, but I feel totally satisfied with the way everything has happened, and the ability to feel like you're part of something that brought good things to the world.
After Cadillac Wheels, Frank tried some other skateboarding ventures, but eventually left the industry altogether. He went back to school and became an engineer, where he would sometimes be reminded of his past.
We started going outsourcing. The point being, I was all over the world, and when you're sitting in the middle of undeveloped China and you're going down a street and you see a kid skateboarding, it's just unbelievable. To go to these places where you're so far from where, out of my reality, my culture and everything, that the skateboarding is ubiquitous. For me, that's just remarkable. I get an incredible amount of joy out of seeing that. That it has something that has created this outlet for people's creativity and athleticism all over the world. That it wasn't just me, although I got to be there in the very beginning and feel it.
Frank Nasworthy still lives in Encinitas and surfs at Swami's, though not as often as his early days. Thanks for listening. Our email is myfirstdaystories@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram @myfirstdaystories. You can find me at andrewbracken.com. My First Day is produced by me, Andrew Bracken, with additional help from Melissa Diaz. Music by Jason Beegan, Chris Curtis, The Matt Entry, and me. For KPBS, Emily Jankowski is technical director. Kinsey Moreland is podcast coordinator. Lisa Jane Morissette is operations manager. And John Decker is director of programming. This program is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Local Content Fund. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated for three generations, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com. Because we know how.